friend of mine once quipped, and I ran this by Susan Baisley, and she said, oh, no, that's not offensive. We say that all the time. All Jewish holidays are the same. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. Now, my friends, I think that's more or less the plot of what Jesus said to his disciples in today's gospel. He reappears to them, and they don't recognize him. And they said, yeah, it's me. You know, they killed me, and I'm alive. Let's eat the fish. Our college reminds us that the disciples recognized Jesus in the breaking of bread. Our gospel today tells the story of Jesus showing up to surprise his disciples and showing them his new risen body, his continuity with them by eating a piece of grilled fish. Eating was central in Jesus' ministry before and after the resurrection. He ate with sinners, tax collectors, and women, scandalizing the Pharisees. Once, he ate at the home of a very reputable Pharisee, and one of his disreputable friends showed up, slathering his feet with oil and washing them with her hair. Chad Myers, one of my favorite biblical scholars, says, never invite Jesus to a dinner party at your house, because if Jesus comes, his friends will show up, and you know what kind of people they are. In the countryside, Jesus fed 5,000 friends and followers with a few loaves and fishes. The last night he spent with his friends, he broke and blessed bread with them and told them to do it from then on and in remembrance of him. And we have today's gospel and other resurrection appearances, where he eats with them after the resurrection. We are still eating together here in his name every week. Whatever is the meaning of all this eating together? Well, there are many, but I'd like to highlight three. First, establishing community. There is just something about sitting down together for a meal, no matter how simple, doing one of the most basic human activities, satisfying your need for nutrients and companionship, that makes life worthwhile. Perhaps it's reminiscent of gathering of families or clan, the place where you belong. Perhaps it's the opportunity to know yourself as part of a bigger clan, a new clan that opens up possibilities. It is definitely a bonding experience. You don't just sit down and eat with those you wish to keep foreign or distant. When Jesus ate with people, he was defining his family and clan, the family of all who would join him, the righteous and the unrighteous, the pure and the impure, men and women, healthy and not, Jews and Gentiles, all belonged at table with Jesus. The message is, you and I belong together. We all belong together. Jesus sharing our humanity, and we sharing with him and his nature. You know, we do this at our Wednesday night dinners, at our fellowship dinners. Sometimes there are four generations seated together at a table, and certainly there are always four generations somewhere in the room. Four generations not even related to one another. How often does that happen in our lives? Since last December, a group of African-American and white women have been getting together to have honest conversations about racism in our community. The format chosen was, not coincidentally, to eat dinner together and then to sit around the tables for structured conversation. I have noticed that each time it is a bit awkward as we gather, but by the time we have shared good food, perhaps exchanged recipes, laughed a bit together, conversation starts flowing. Breaking bread together does create community. And Jesus was inviting and invites people into community with him. which puts us in the community with one another. Which brings me to number two. This eating together can put us in right relationship with God and one another, if we do it mindfully. Several years ago, I was fortunate to spend a couple days at the Community of the Holy Spirit Convent in Brewster, New York. When I arrived for dinner the first day, we all stood around this big old butcher block in the kitchen of the farmhouse, peering at two rather unidentifiable casseroles, our dinner. The sister who cooked announced that everything in the dinner had been produced on their little farm plot, very small, except a little rice. There was a casserole of collards with eggs and another that had just about every root vegetable I had ever heard of, including the garlic and onion. And it was made with butter produced in the kitchen and seasoned with paprika made from peppers grown, dried, ground, and sifted all within feet of the dining table. I was astounded. Who knew you could make your own paprika? And who would go to all that work? It was delicious. But more than relishing the taste, I savored the miracle of food being produced on the very ground on which I was eating it, and of the loving labor that had gone into bringing that food to the meal. Fruit of the vine and work of human hands, the words from the Roman Catholic sacrament flooding into my mind. That was the moment that I began to think about the backstory of how food got to my plate and to say thanks for it with newfound gratitude. In the most basic way, the act of sharing food, feeding each other, is an act of dependence on God's creation and one another. All we have comes to us not because we're able to create it out of nothing, but because God in creation gives us all necessary for life. Without soil, water, and air, there would be no food. But still, we need the labor of the farmer, the trucker, the grocer, the cook, or maybe just one very hard-working community of sisters to be able to eat. As we understand this, it really sinks in. Gratitude to God and generosity towards our human companions naturally follows. Third, eating together can bring the past into the present. Have you ever had the experience of smelling something that not only reminded you of something in the past, but just whipped you right back there? Or perhaps brought the past back to you is a better way to say it, because you haven't gone anywhere, but suddenly another time and place is with you there as well. Maybe it's smelling the pot roast that takes you back to your grandmother's Sunday dinners, or the curry that suddenly quickens the memory of your time in India. Perhaps the smell of wood smoke takes you back to a romantic night before a fire and makes you feel the embrace of your beloved. Or the smell of a clean baby floods you with love for your grown children. Just one little cue, and you don't remember just with your mind, but the past is viscerally with you. It's there in the moment. You have recalled. The past has been recalled, not recalled, but recalled, called from the past into the moment. It's a super reality, and it is very real for us. Today, and every time that we make Eucharist in remembrance of me, we recall Jesus and his meals with the disciples. Not really, I don't think, Jesus of the Last Supper, although I love Jesus of the Last Supper. Definitely not Jesus on the cross. But Jesus, alive with his disciples in an almost unrecognizable form, but totally real and totally present to them. Jesus said, "Do this, all of you. We are invited to find our place of belonging to God and to one another at this table. And in doing so, we also belong and unite ourselves to those who have done this before and have gone before us. We are invited to admit our dependence on God and on one another for everything that we receive with our open hands. We are invited to recall Jesus' presence, to recall Jesus' presence, to viscerally experience Jesus' presence here and now in the breaking of bread. As our collect prays, open, we pray you, the eyes of our faith, that we may behold all his redeeming work through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.